Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So the Grizzlies went to Miami and lost. What did you make, before we get to the injury situation, what did you make of the performance?
They played a good game and they lost, and that's sort of what happens in basketball. The problem with the Grizzlies is when you accumulate too much of that, like, it becomes a problem. And so this was, you know, they've had some bad losses this year, and they've had some, like, perfectly acceptable losses if you just look at them without context, and this was one of those. I mean, you're on the road against a playoff-level team. Miami's going to be a playoff team in the East. You're on the road. You end up being shorthanded. You're shorthanded going in, and then you're even more shorthanded because you lose Cal Anderson in the second quarter. And it's a tie game with 2 minutes to go. It's anybody's game. And that's the old Hubie Brown thing, is like, you know, when you're on the road, your goal is to have a chance to win in the last 5 minutes. And they got themselves to that spot, and then they just couldn't pull it out. And that's one of the stories of this Grizzly season, is not being able to pull out close games. That's something I've written about and talked about a lot. And you get down to, it's a tie game with 2 minutes to go, and you can't get over the hump. And then you're down two with, you know, a final possession. And on an inbounds pass, they're double-teaming Marc Gasol, which is where it looked like to me where they wanted to go. And they didn't have a good counter, and so you end up just throwing it to Shelvin Mack, who's your worst player on the floor, and he gets a shot blocked. And so it was a disappointing loss.
And that you put, I mean, you've said this before, but this is one of the places where coaching is most evident, right?
Yeah, it's
where
hard to know. I mean, A, could or should the coaching staff have drawn up a better out-of-bounds play? Could it have been executed better by the players on the floor? Like, I assume there was a second option that was not Shelvin Mack. Like, Marc Gasol was clearly the first option. I assume there had to be a second option in the set, and I'm guessing that was not Shelvin Mack. And whether it was poorly drawn up or poorly executed, they didn't get to anything good. So, you know, it was Shelvin Mack on the baseline, and he gets a shot blocked, and you take a loss that, you know, by itself is a fairly acceptable loss, but in the context of the season you found yourself in, was a really bad loss to take. Because, you know, like we talked about, this five-game stretch was maybe the toughest five-game stretch of the season, and at Miami was by far the easiest of the five games on paper. And now you're at Houston tonight, and then you're home against Milwaukee, who's got maybe one of the two best players in the league and is one of the two best teams in the East, and then you're road back-to-back Toronto-Boston. And so that was a win they really needed to get.
Yeah. And then, of course, they lose Kyle Anderson in addition. Out 2 to 4 weeks with an ankle. So what do they do now?
I think we basically saw what they do, because they lost him in the second quarter. So you watch how they played the second half and you project that forward. I think that's basically what you're going to see, which is Justin Holiday is going to move into the starting lineup. And, you know, Justin Holiday has not been good, and so you need him to start being good, but he is capable of playing lots of minutes. He was playing 35 minutes a game for Chicago. And Garrett Temple's been playing 30-plus minutes a game, and so I think Garrett Temple and Justin Holiday are going to play lots of minutes on the wing, and then you're going to cobble it together. You're going to play Omri Caspi as your backup small forward. You're going to see more two-point guard lineups, you know, with your Shelvin Mack, Javon Carter, Mike Conley, combinations of those three players. And then the one thing they did, which I think you'll – I don't know whether it's good or not, but I think given the options that you have, they'll try it at least one more time probably. You may see Marc Gasol, Jaren Jackson, Jamichael Green on the floor together. And my attitude with that is, like, I don't think that's a particularly good look in the NBA now defensively.
Right.
But given what you have to work with, I mean, if that means Jaren Jackson's on the floor more, I'm sort of like, fine, whatever, throw my hands up, you know, do it if you're going to put Jaren Jackson on the floor more. I think they basically deal with what they have for the moment. I wrote last night, in terms of their options. They have an open roster spot. When they did the Justin Holiday trade, that opened a roster spot because it was a 2-for-1. And so they could fill that roster spot. The problem is that they are so close to the tax line now that if they signed a player today for the rest of the season, that would put them into the tax, and they're not doing that. They could sign a guy to a 10-day contract to add some depth, but that's something they could do and they might do. The problem with that is that anybody who is, you know, you could go sign like the best wing player in the G League who's not on a two-way, you know, to add depth. Sort of your classic Durante Weber signing in years past, right? That kind of thing. The problem with that is you're inching yourself closer to the tax line if you do that, even not over it, but in terms of your flexibility going forward. And if anybody is good enough, like, to help you, like, they're already on the wing, they're already signed. It gets back to the joke of Noah signing earlier in the season. Like, there were no good wings to sign because, like, any wing that's good is on a roster. And so my guess is, barring some other injury, they will just keep it open and deal with it for a few weeks until the trade deadline. Because you don't want to add something, you don't want to fill that roster spot before the deadline because you don't know what's going to happen at the deadline where that roster spot may help you in terms of facilitating a trade.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing to have a NBA team where your wings are, I mean, with all due respect, Garrett Temple and Justin Holliday. Like,
sure.
In the end, it's this is why Ron Tillery always wanted Rudy Gay back.
Right. Like, Rudy Gay's a power forward now. You know?
What?
Rudy Gay's a forward now. He's not a wing anymore. The NBA's changed.
Yeah, he's a power forward now. But they just can't, like, who is, like, they had Mike Melt. Like, who have they had at two and, like, who have been their good wing players in history?
Well, at one point, the first year they went into the playoffs, they had O.J.
Lee was decent.
The first year they went to the playoffs, they had O.J. Mayo, who, when he was good, Shane Battier, and Tony Allen. Like, that was a pretty decent three-man wing rotation, right? Good O.J.,
right.
Tony Allen, and Shane Battier. Like, that wasn't bad.
Right.
And it's been spotty. It's been a lot of, you had old Vince Carter and old Matt Barnes and old Mike Miller and – old Tayshaun Prince, and you had a bunch of guys who couldn't shoot. The one thing...
It's been forever. Like, yeah, the one thing what?
The one thing I think, if there's any opportunity here, and there's not much of one, but if you want to talk yourself into something, it is that now everybody can shoot, in theory. Like, it's hard to tell people in Memphis that Justin Holliday can shoot, if they have never seen him play before. But he's a three-point shooter, certainly more than Kyle Anderson is. And so now you do have, like, one of the few times, like, ever, all five starters are three-point shooters, like, all five. And so they really need to start creating and taking some threes. That's probably their best hope at this point.
Right.
Which is not much of one.
Right. Yeah. It's nice Kyle isn't gone for the year. You lamented that you've enjoyed watching him play and you will miss him.
And I think we've seen little bits of progress with how he's used. And at this point, one of the things, and everyone wants to know what's the magical formula for, rebuilding, and there's not one, which is unsatisfying to people. But I think at this point going forward, like, I don't think you're going to see the tank and the whatever. But to me, the rest of the season, I'm interested in development of the players who matter going forward. And so that's primarily like Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson Jr., right? And so just not having Kyle Anderson out there, yes, it hurts them competitively, but we're almost at the point where that doesn't really matter anymore. It's more like you're missing, like, minutes of Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson playing together and building that chemistry and figuring out how to use Kyle Anderson.
Chandler Parsons, if he had – first of all, do you think there's any chance he is coming back?
I doubt it. I tried to ask around on that, and the sense I get is, like, people just don't want to talk about Chandler Parsons. I think people would rather pretend he doesn't exist at this point. I assume that the waters are too poisoned for him to make a reappearance, even with all this going on. No one has said that to me explicitly. So no one has shot down the idea of Parsons coming back. It's just it's just non-response. My sense is that people are just sick of Chandler Parsons and don't want to deal with it anymore. Beyond the fact that they don't believe he can really help them anyway. Otherwise, they would have just put him out there to begin with. I doubt it. But to your point, I think you were about to make, in which I wrote last night, when Parsons first started squawking before the separation, one of the things I wrote, which I cut and pasted in an article last night, was you're squawking while everyone's healthy. If you just wait, like, that's not going to be the case. And maybe that jinxed them a little bit. I didn't see it being this much not the case, but that's certainly what happened. And so if he had just kept, hitting his threes in practice instead of, like, barking at the GM and subtweeting them and on Instagram and getting his agent to talk to complain. If he just kept his mouth shut and kept working in practice, then you would look up today and they'd say, man, Kyle Anderson's out and Dylan Brooks is out and we're sort of in a spot and we're skeptical about Parsons, but let's throw him out there and see what happens. Like, I think that's what would have happened.
That is clearly what would have happened. Now, you don't believe that it is a big competitive, the fact that the it's a loss for him. If he really did want to play, it is a loss for him because this would have been his opportunity. You don't really believe it would have been much of a loss for the Grizzlies. In other words, having if Chandler Parsons had remained quiet, been a great teammate, shown up, hit his threes in practice, and then now was out there playing, you don't believe it would materially impact the fortunes of the Grizzlies.
I mean, I have no reason to believe that the reality of Chandler Parsons is any different than the reality that we've already seen. Like, you can make up in your head this theoretical Chandler Parsons, but I don't see any reason to do that at this point. Like, this is the point I keep making. He didn't get injured. He's been injured in the past multiple times and multiple surgeries on everything, but he didn't have an injury this season. Everyone talks about him rehabbing and getting ready. There's no injury. His knees are shot. He started the season. He played 46 minutes. He took himself out because he couldn't do it anymore. He didn't have a new injury that took him out. He just had old knees. And so I have no reason to believe that the Chandler Parsons we would see would be any different than the Chandler Parsons we've already seen, which is the guy who cannot guard the wing and whose knees won't hold up. Like, there's zero reason to expect anything else.
Houston tonight, thoughts?
good luck. I don't know, man. Both of your two wings that you have left, both of them, are both decent defenders who, like, no one can guard James Harden, but, like, you know, they could probably do us a respectable job as most people and Temple and Holiday. I think forcing the issue of Javon Carter, I know Javon Carter hasn't been good necessarily, but I do think he's good defensively, and I think, you know, that's a good matchup for him. And so forcing him back onto the floor, I think, probably helps you some. And, you know, I'm just going to keep – I'm not going to, like – you know, I'll say it on the show, but I'm not going to go stand in the court square in the soapbox and scream it. But, like, just give Jaren Jackson the ball and see what happens. I mean, we're at the point where let's just start doing that. Why don't we?
Right. Let's just start doing that. Why don't we? Grizzlies released the lineup of honorees. Wayne Embry, Bill Walton, Chris Bosh, Candace Parker will be honored at the MLK Day game. Who's the performer?
Anthony Hamilton's going to play at halftime. He's a modern soul guy, but he's got lots of Memphis connections. He's been in town a bunch.
Okay. What do you make of our collection of honorees?
I have no complaint. I mean, it's fine. I mean, Bill Walton's a big name, and Candace Parker, I mean, really interesting. I think we've sort of passed the point of, like, the truly meaningful. Like, I don't know who it would be at this point. You know, you've had your Bill Russells and your whatever.
Right.
In terms of, like, players who have really, truly tangible, like meaningful, well-known contributions in sort of social justice areas, it's gotten to the point now where it's just, like, you get a bunch of famous former players and you find stuff that fits. But it's not, like, you know, it's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar out there, right?
Right, right. But it can't be because you only have so many of them. Yes. You only have so many of them out there. Kareem has never done it, has he? Did Kareem do it?
I don't know. When they did the Lakers thing a couple years ago, I thought maybe it would be Kareem. I don't know if Kareem has, but that would be the big fish that they haven't caught.
Yeah.
If he hasn't.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.